Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. The leaves are changing colors from bright yellow to fire red. And with that being said, welcome to your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. It is a wonderful Wednesday. Yes, the NBA, it started last night. We waiting on one more team. Yeah. So, yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, start on Tuesday. You know, we record on Tuesday and drop for Wednesday. Wow. What else?
What a good game that was last night.
Yeah, LeBron dropped 90. No, here you go, that mess, Scotty D. No, we got one team that pushed their ticket to the World Series. Did the other team push their ticket to the World Series? We'll talk baseball down the road. And, of course, we're going to talk about football, and more football. So, with that being said, time for me to shut the hell up and introduce to you two of the best co-hosts in the world. Introducing first, coming to you live from the Share Studios in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's right, B-Live, show them that logo. He is the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? I'm going to get this out of the way. I don't want to be here.
What?
I don't want to do it. As you just said just a couple seconds ago, we're going to talk football, and more football. Well, football and more football to me, the only reason why my pro team didn't lose because they were on a bye week.
Can't lose on your bye week.
And my college team has now a 4-3 record. Which is the worst record they've had in the past, past decade, and I don't like it. And so, I'm gonna work my way through it. Of course, I want to be here, but I don't want to talk about it's hockey season. It's hockey season to me. Baseball's over with for me. Football's already over with for me. NASCAR's over with. I ain't got no golf. We're about to get into basketball season, and I'm a Hornets fan, so that's already over. So,
yeah. Is NASCAR over?
I think it might be. I don't even. They might have been in some playoff. Whatever.
I didn't think NASCAR ever ended. I thought it was like one big, like it was like a microcosm of the race where it just looped constantly, and everyone saw someone says, "Hey, here's a cup. You're the winner of the cup."
It is a loop, you know what I'm saying? Made another left turn. I don't like it. I don't want to be here. But go ahead and introduce the other guy, and I'll get through it, you know? I mean, it's what we do, but Miami, the U, double overtime. Just introduce the other guy.
Yep, fit to turn that whole segment into a reel or a short. Yes, I am. And the other guy, he is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania. He's mean. He's tough. And if another piece of electronic equipment gives him some troubles, he's knocking it smooth the F out. He is the money man, Scotty D.
Today, I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to stay in my bed, be live. Cheer up. You don't hear me being all negative. It's all positivity these days. Come on. Although I have to admit, you did make me a little sad by telling me NASCAR was over. I was just getting ready to start watching it. I'm very sad. Yeah, it's getting cold. Happy Halloween out there. I don't think we're going to do another episode before Halloween. No, I don't think we are. This is going to be our big Halloween episode. Well, this is Thriller Night. That should be a song.
According to Eddie Cool, we release on Wednesday, but next time we record will be Halloween. It's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it'll be over. By the time they hear the next one.
By the time they hear us,
It'll be November the 1st, which means somebody's birthday is coming right around the corner. Yeah, somebody's birthday is coming right around the corner. I'm excited about turning 41. I don't know why, but I'm excited. Everybody. I'm going to start dancing and stuff. But let me go ahead and shut the hell up and let us go ahead and shut the hell up. With that being said, before we go into Halloween, we're going to hop right into it this week. This is the top of the order. All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order. This past weekend in the NFL, fellas, it was a whole hell of a lot going on. And the question that I pose to you two is the worst loss of the weekend. And you got we had three choices, but now we have four choices. Was it the Lions losing to the Ravens, the Bills losing to Pea Shooter Jones and the Patriots, the Raiders losing to the doggone Chicago Bears, or what happened on Monday night, the 49ers getting hit with the what happened by the Minnesota Vikings? Scotty D, what say you?
Well, first, here is a little known fact, and I don't know if you guys know this or anybody else in the NFL fandom realizes this, but did you know that the Seattle Seahawks played the Arizona Cardinals this past weekend? I did not know that. I had no idea. And Seattle won. Seattle won that game. Little known fact. All right. So of those choices, I think the Raiders may have suffered the worst loss. The 49ers are going to be fine. I know that they're on a little mini losing streak here. It was a terrible loss for the Lions based on the score. And the Bills have looked like doo-doo. And that's like an inexcusable loss to have lost that one. But if the Raiders were to get anything going at all, if they were going to try to stay competitive in the division or the AFC, you have to beat the Chicago Bears, who we were talking about just a week or two ago as potentially the worst team in the NFL. My apology, Carolina fans, but we were talking about the Bears as the worst team in the NFL. Justin Fields looked terrible. The coaching staff was coming undone. They traded away. What's the bad receiver that went from the Steelers to the Bears to the Dolphins?
Chase Claypool. Claypool.
So the Bears are an absolute mess. They're a disaster. And the Raiders seemingly kind of hung around in a couple games, and Garoppolo got hurt for the 85th time in his career. But if they're in a division where the Chiefs are taking that division, that's said and done. They proved their point again against the Chargers. So there you have it. The Chargers lost another game. The Bills lost a game. There is opportunity if the Raiders are going to try it all to keep up in the AFC to. You got to beat a bad team. You got to beat a bad team. And they slipped to under 500. I think that dropped them to 3-4 instead of being 4-3. Just an atrocious loss for the Raiders. So I give up on their season already based on that game. B-Life, tell me what you think. Talk to the people.
I'm going to talk to the people because nobody in their grandmother expected the Raiders to even be competitive, let alone make it to the playoffs. So I don't consider that as a loss at all because it's the Raiders. They weren't expected to do much. And for them to be 3-4, I think it's a miracle. So I don't consider that a bad loss. I mean,
I consider it to be crippling for their season.
Well, their season is crippling to their season.
But had they won, that would have been over 500. That's the whole point.
Is crippling to their season. Having Arthur Davis as an owner is crippling to their season. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Raiders have that are crippling to their season. The Lions, they're still two games ahead in their division. I mean, they're perfectly fine.
But right.
49ers are only a half a game up, mind you, over the Seahawks. So that could have hurt a little bit, but now.
Did you know the Seahawks played on Sunday? Did you know that?
I really didn't care.
I just found that out.
The fact that they're 4-2 is actually very surprising.
Really?
Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, the Buffalo Bills, what happened?
Yeah, what is going on there?
Let's just talk about a couple things. First of all, It's the New England Patriots. Like, we completely gave up on them. I think I said last week that they were the worst team in, like I thought, they're the worst team in, it, like, when it comes to what they're going to be able to accomplish in the future, they're worse off than the Panthers. And then they turn around and beat the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills were supposed to be one of the top teams. And now, if you really look at it, they are half a game, they're half a game up on the last wild card spot. They're that close to not making the playoffs at all with this loss. Of course, there's 10 more games to play. There's a lot of season to go, but you have to win these games. These are the games that you're supposed to win. These are the games that they count. Every single game counts. They come later in the season, they're 10-7, and they're tied with the Bengals or something like that or whatever. And we just don't know. A lot can be said, a lot can be done, but you have to win these games. You're tied. You would be tied with the Dolphins, which you beat the Dolphins. You would have the division lead. Now you're sitting a game behind, and now you're fighting for the last wild card spot. You got to win these games. Buffalo Bills, who are you? And what happened? Eddie Kuhl, what say you?
My initial statement was going to be the Buffalo Bills, but I'm about to roll with Scotty D on this one, man. For the Raiders to salvage anything in their season, this is I don't want to say a gimme, but this is one of the games that you have to win in order for that to happen, because you have to beat the Bears in order to gain some ground in the AFC, because the way Buffalo is looking, like, one of the main reasons why Buffalo is looking so bad is because they got hit with an injury bug. They're missing people on both sides of the ball, and that's why Buffalo's looking that bad. I mean, look at the leading rusher last year for the Raiders, Josh Jacobs. 11 carries, 35 yards, 3.2 yards a carry. Brutal.
To you guys, I hate to interrupt. I'm going to ask both of y'all this, though. Las Vegas Raiders versus Chicago Bears. Talent-wise, who do you think wins that game?
I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about the Raiders, has a quarterback who led a team to the Super Bowl. We have Josh Jacobs, a receiver or a running back who rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Devontae Adams. Did you want me to answer, or did you want to just talk? I mean, because if you want to just talk, don't ask a question. You're asking me a question.
Don't come with the ridiculous, like, Jimmy G led that team to the Super Bowl.
True or false? He was the quarterback of a team that went to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Then allow me to continue my point. All right, you also have Devontae Adams.
The team to the Super Bowl. Don't you dare do that. You're talking right. Some man that you know better. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Scotty D.
No. He already answered the question. He asked me.
I want to hear it.
Let me answer.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Okay, so Scotty, like you said, the Raiders have a team, Jimmy G was a part of the quarterback, Super Bowl team. And then you have one of the best receivers in the league, Devontae Adams, and the rushing champion from the previous year, the Raiders. Is that where you're going, Scotty?
I was going there compared to the Bears, whose quarterback they're already talking about replacing. A team that looks futile. Like, we're already talking about replacing their coach for next year. So, look, at the end of the season, when we're going into round one of the playoffs, I still expect the Bills to be there. I still expect the 49ers to be there. I still expect the Lions to be there. I don't expect the Raiders to be there. But if they had any chance at all, if you have any chance at all, this is a game you have to win. When you look around at the league and you're competing in wild card areas against the Chargers who lost, the Colts who lost, you have to, if you're going to keep up at all, if you have any expectation of making a postseason, you cannot lose to the Bears this early in the season. Otherwise, your season's kaput. And I believe, based on the evidence, that the season is kaput. So I think that was a completely unacceptable, terrible loss. That's my point.
Yeah. And from the talent standpoint, I have to roll with the Raiders. But like you said, Scotty D, it's at the point to where it's kind of like, you know, you got one team phoning in the season, you got one team at least trying, but the team that tried lost to the other team that phoned in the season. So it's just something weird. But as I was saying, like, it's just the fact that you have to win those games. And the worst loss of that week had to be the Raiders. Like you said, Scotty D, it is absolutely crippling. With that being said, gentlemen, we got next week coming up. And what game are we looking forward to next week?
Who are you directing to? Me, him?
Anybody. Say something. Anybody.
Answer something. I ain't looking forward to nothing. Because you know who my team is. Just...
Ooh, the battle of the top two quarterbacks. Houston to Carolina.
I almost cussed.
Bryce Young and CJ Stroud going head to head this week. I think that one's probably circled on everyone's calendar. That's got to be the game everybody is going to be excited about, right? That's the one.
I knew you were going to do that. You knew you were going to get a rise out of me for doing that. Like,
okay, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Jacksonville fares at Pittsburgh this coming week. Because I don't look at the Steelers as a really good team because their offensive struggles, yet they keep piling up wins. They're 4-2, Jacksonville coming in at 5-2. And Jacksonville is a team we all expected to do really well this year. They had a couple stumbles already, but they go over to another country. Didn't they play in another country and play nice. Buffalo?
Yeah, they play about nine games over there, it seems like.
Where did they play? Myanmar or
They've won more games over in England than they've won in Jacksonville.
Damn shame.
Wow. So that's a formidable test. Even though I don't think the Steelers are a great team this year, they have defensively played well. And them at home going into Heinz-Ackershire Field is still going to be, I think, a test for Trevor Lawrence. Got to be his first time he's been there, right? I want to say this is what his second year, third year.
Yeah, I think it's his first time being there.
This might be his first time being there. Anyway, the Steelers fans will have the terrible towels going, and you know the fact that they are 4-2, despite having looked less than stellar at least offensively. That's going to be an interesting game.
Very much so. What you got, B-Live?
What I have is I don't like Scotty D at all. He didn't have to mention
you came in cranky, so I'm not going to take offense to that. You've been in a bad mood all morning.
But yes, I have been. It's going to continue to be that way. As long as my college team is 4-3, all roads lead to Dabo, and that road is under construction right now. But... The Jacksonville-Pittsburgh matchup is going to be intriguing because of another matchup that is on the books for Sunday afternoon. The Bengals are on the road going to San Fran. Can San Fran right the ship after a two-game losing streak? Or is Cincinnati going to get back into contention and win this and really start to bother the rest of the division? Because you got Cleveland and Pittsburgh at 4-2, and you got Baltimore 5-2. Cincinnati is last in the division at 3-3, and I don't think any of us picked that at all.
No.
So Cincinnati, San Fran, something's got to give. Does Cincinnati go below 500, or does San Fran continue down this slippery slope of losing? Bang bang Niner gang, come on, man. You ain't been banging, ganging, or nothing. Get it together. So what say you, Eddie Coop?
The game that I'm looking at is the 4-0-5 game between the Cleveland Browns taking on the host Seattle Seahawks.
Coming off their bye week.
Yes, going out the bye week. No, the Browns almost, you know, ran it down their leg in Indy last week. So let's see what they do this week against the Seattle Seahawks, a team that we thought last year, like, hey, you know what? Well, coming to see, like, you know what? You're gonna have this one little magical little run last year, and that's gonna be it. But from the looks of it, the Seahawks are here to stay. And then let's see what the Browns defense do against the wide receiver trio of Tyler Lockett, Jackson and Jigba Smith, and DK Lockett. Because I think that'll be a very interesting matchup. The secondary versus those three wide receivers. I'm gonna have to tune in for that one as well, too. Did everybody pick their games?
Yes, and just one bonus game to be aware of. I'm going to be locked in at noon on Saturday for UMass at Army. That's one that I've been eagerly anticipating for quite some time.
You're not even going to wait for my college segment to come with the comments. What we're doing?
It's a segue. It's a segue.
I'm a boy.
I will still be recovering at that point from the Florida Atlantic at Charlotte game on Friday night.
You take a full advantage of me being cranky today. That is what we're doing. you just want to push me right over the edge. You just like,
I can't help it. I woke up in a good mood.
You lied so bad. Right. you get on the air, you want to be brand new. I'm the same person on air and off air. That's okay. That's all right. Next time, Eddie Cool, you just start recording as soon as we get on this call, and we'll let the people see the truth behind the money man over there. And the money man is responsible for inflation in this country. I said it. All right.
Hell no. I'll tell you what. Hey, the unedited, the raw content, I'll put that on the Patreon. We got to make people pay for that. We just can't give them that for free. But with that being said, that's been it for the NFL Talk. Coming up next, everybody's favorite segment, the B-Live Top 5. Stick Stay right here on Sports Bros Podcast. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, all y'all, pig farmers, tree huggers, professional wrestlers, amateur boxers, and deep sea divers. This is the B-Live Top 5.
Well, well, well. We are who we thought we were, and we let them off. I don't know. How does that quote go? It is what it is. When it comes to my top five this week, I had to shake it up a little bit. And I had to, I didn't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. Simply put, I'm going to just give you my top five. I'm going to give you the reasons why. Coming in at number five, I have the Washington Husky. I had them in my top four, but you can't struggle against a 1-6 Arizona State team. And Michael Penix, he had a little rough showing for your Heisman. Need you to get it together. Number four, the Ohio State University. I dropped them down because it's the Marvin Harrison Jr. show. I don't see anybody else on that team that's doing anything. Both offenses struggle, Ohio State, Penn State. I didn't see top five in either one of those teams, but somebody has to be up there. Ohio State won that game. But if you find a way to stop Marvin Harrison Jr., you stop the Ohio State Buckeyes. Number three. Oh, this hurts. Oh, God, it hurts. But the ACC matchup of the week, Duke versus Florida State. Florida State pulled it out. Duke's quarterback was hurt. But at the end of the day, Florida State just manages, especially in the second half, to win games. And they've got one of the easier routes in the ACC to finish it off undefeated and make it into the college football playoff. Florida State, you're now in my top five, and you're coming in at number three. Number two, the Georgia Bulldogs. Same thing. They start off slow, but they handle their business. And the SEC is down and terrible this year. There's no reason why Georgia won't just run right through them. But they still were down 14-3 to the 2-5 South Carolina Gamecocks. I said what I said. Number one, Michigan Wolverines. They still ain't played nobody, but they dominate every team they've played so far. we'll see very soon when they face Penn State. But I think Michigan will beat Penn State by 4 touchdowns. Mm. What I came here to say was the Be Live not top 5 because these teams just overrated. They one week I praise them, I raise them up, I put them on this pedestal, and they disappoint me. Coming in at number 5, they're on both my lists this week, the Washington Huskies. You can't struggle against Arizona State. I dropped you down, and you're overrated. You got plenty of chances, but the Pac-12 is tough. It's going to be very interesting to see if Washington can make it through and put a Pac-12, about to be the Pac-2 team, into the playoffs. Number 4, Texas Hook'em Longhorns. Houston, they're the team that's going to be replacing you in the Big 12 when you run off to the SEC. You can't struggle against Houston if you're supposed to be one of the big boys in the SEC. Just me, more. Dang.
I said, yeah. You can't struggle.
Can't struggle against Houston.
No.
Coming in at number 3. Oh, Sooner Nation. Come on. Oklahoma Sooners. Again, you can't struggle against lesser teams. And man, oh man, 2 points over UCF? That ain't it. And that is overrated. You had, and y'all were down for the majority of the game. Y'all had to come back to beat UCF. Woo. Keep playing like that. Big 12 ain't going to have nobody in the playoff. Number 2, I said it. My Clemson Tigers. I know it's not overrated because they were 4-2. They weren't ranked, et cetera, et cetera. But come on, bruh. Stop fumbling the ball at the 1-yard line.
We got to stop fumbling.
We lead all of college football in fumbles lost.
We got to stop doing that.
Mm.
10 fumbles lost. We get this. What are you doing? Lovnik, Shipley, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Stop fumbling the ball.
Stop that.
There's no reason we should have been in double overtime against Miami.
Up 17-7. No way.
And then that stupid stop changing the play at the line. You ain't that good.
No. Go with Dabo.
Number 1.
I'm sick about Clemson, our performance.
Clemson should have been number 1, but come on, bro. Virginia. Now they're North Carolina Tar Heels, what are you doing? Undefeated, number 10 in the nation, you lose to Virginia? Overrated. North Carolina, there you coming at number 1. I don't know what to tell you. Now you're struggling to even get to the ACC championship because it is what it is. What say you, fellas?
Well, like you said, you can't struggle coming to the ACC championship. Michigan looks unstoppable. Something seems off about Georgia. And I'm going to need Desmond Howard. We missed this last week, but I'm going to need him not to say the phrase Big Penix energy. I'm going to need him not to do that.
Ever again.
Hey,
ever.
Hey, look.
Penalty box. Desmond Howard, penalty box. Don't do that no more. Don't ever do that no more.
Scotty D, what you got on your side of things? This is going to be great.
Well, maybe Iowa maybe shouldn't have lost to Minnesota. That was another Iowa not
came in at number top. 6.
Yeah.
Number 6. I almost had him on there. I switched it up at the last second. I was like, yeah, Washington was a little bit more of a disappointment. But yeah.
That was one Iowa maybe will need a little bit later on down the line, but they'll be bowl eligible though. They could probably make a bowl game by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, that's something that Clemson is struggling to do.
Hopefully, there's a bowl game they can qualify for.
Yep, the Loris Boggoff Bowl. That might be interesting. played right there at Hennepin Field. Well, anyways, that's been it for the Be Live Top 5 and the Knop Top 5. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some baseball. Yes, World Series upon us, but we got to get these league championship series out of the way first, all right? Coming back at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Back at it again right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Back at you again to our listeners and everybody. We want to really thank our listeners, our fans, everyone that's been supporting us over the last 4 years, going on to our fifth year as next year here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Love you. Thank you. If you like the shorts on YouTube that we post here, if you like it, you love it, want some more of it, let us know. We're going to keep on doing it, all right? With that being said, let's go ahead and talk about some baseball. It's almost that time. As I alluded to earlier, one team has punched their ticket to the Fall Classic. That would be the Texas Rangers. And meanwhile, in the National League, Arizona said, not so fast. Wait a minute, Philly. We got something to say, as their victory last night pushes it to a game 7. Fellas, Scotty D, now I know you watched a big majority of baseball. I had a chance to watch a smidgen last night because I was eating some wings and enjoying some drinks and talking to people. What can you tell about that? Tell us about that closeout game, man, between Houston and Texas.
I can tell you the story of pretty much the series was Adolis Garcia, who's just been going off. He was mixed up into that whole Friday night brawl situation that, you know, led to some tossings. Dusty Baker punched in the railing and getting tossed. And old Dusty was heated. And a mistake to Altuve, and we wouldn't have even had a game 7. Altuve saved the day with that big hit on Friday night, and he just keeps proving to be money. But every year it seems like somebody steps up and stands out in the postseason. We had a Rosarena of the Rays a few years ago, and Jordan Alvarez of the Astros, Juan Soto, and this year it's Adolis Garcia. A grand slam in game 6, a couple home runs in game 7. I think he had 2 home runs on Monday night. And it was just they outlasted the Astros in a series that, to me, it's amazing, because wasn't the 2019 World Series where the Astros and the Nationals played and the road team won all 7 games. And here we are just 4 years later, and the Astros are involved in the same thing in a championship series where no home team won a game. The road team won all 7 games in this series as well. The Diamondbacks and Rangers kind of, or to me, seem a little similar on parallel paths here, because, and forgive me, you know, guys, if you're listening to this, you already know what happened in game 7 of the National League. We don't as we're recording this. But the Diamondbacks and Rangers were both teams that were hot earlier in the season and then kind of had a little fall off. And the Rangers actually got caught at the buzzer on the last day of the season by the Astros to actually earn home field, so to speak, in this championship series. They end up winning the division by a tiebreak. They had the identical record going into the postseason. But it sets up well for the Rangers, because now they're going to have Eovaldi, who's been absolutely a stud in the postseason, probably going game 1 on Friday night. I don't know who's playing in the National League as of this recording, but the Rangers seemed to get right when they needed it at the exact time. They had good pitching. They had the bats came alive for this team. It was just a well-put-together club. They lost 100 games 2 seasons ago. So, hey, let's go Buccos. Gives me some hope going into this upcoming season, be live for the Pirates.
You know what? And Sky, I appreciate your input on this, the ALCS and the NLCS. And I'm just going to throw this out there real quick, because you say that you don't know who's going to make it from the NLCS, which is true. Because as of recording, we haven't seen the game yet. I do know who is not making it to the World Series.
Who?
All of your division winners. You might as well change the name of it from the World Series to the Wild Card Series. Because guess what? None of your division winners made it. None of your byes made it. Major League Baseball change something.
Oh, here we go again. Are we going to talk about the Braves lost? The Braves lost.
I knew your face was going to change when I said you're the one. You said it in our chat that the Rangers Diamondbacks would be a ratings winner. You said that, not me.
If the Phillies are able to get past the Diamondbacks, I'm assuming it was on the strength of the bats of Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner. The Diamondbacks, meanwhile, have had good series from Ketel Marte, Christian Carroll.
Diamondbacks, please win it for the good guys. I don't want to hear nothing from the Phillies. But I've said it, I'm going to say it again. This is not a good formula. At all.
What a stellar pitching performance in game six for Merrill Kelly. And here's what bothered me about that game. He had just gotten through the teeth of the order, the most powerful part of the Phillies lineup. Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, and then strikeout Bryce Harper. And he walks off the field, and his manager extends him a handshake after five innings. And he's pulling him out of the game. And I kind of would have liked to have seen Philly just explode on their relievers and just start knocking the ball out of the park. Just for the simple fact that I hate that overmanaging in the postseason type of stuff. You got a pitcher who's pitching well and you pulled him out of the game. Kelly had thrown 90 pitches. Yeah, I get that. But this is it. You got to empty the tank this time of year. So that sets up our game seven, which know what happened and we don't.
Yeah, as you said about pitching. Oh, go ahead, Beli.
Should happen. It should be one game, a wild card, seven-game division series, seven-game championship series. You will see who should.
That's okay. You can edit this part out, right, Eddie?
Baseball.
Shorten this up a little
players, bit. Baseball players are not meant to have a week off. I said what I said, and I'm still sticking to that. Because it's in our face, right, plain as day. Houston Astros out. Dodgers out. Braves out. Orioles out. Brewers out.
Does it happen like it every year?
Twins out. This formula has only been in existence for 2 years.
There's been other formulas where there has been a bye, if I'm not mistaken, for number one.
Where? Last year.
Yeah, there has been. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Before
good talk. Good talk, B-Life. Good talk.
Oh, Lord. Before y'all kill up each other, I'm with you, Scotty D. If the pitchers cook and let them cook, especially like you said, if we got through Schwarber, Turner, and Harper, let them cook.
Just send him out. Just send him out. If he walks the first guy or gets hit hard, then you pull him. Your bullpen's ready. They put so much stock into, I want to give my reliever a clean inning. They don't want anybody coming in with somebody on first base. But they did win the game, yeah.
That's okay. Ta-da. All this extra stuff y'all talking. Man. I love postseason.
That's what our whole show is, talking extra. That's all. That's actually what the show is.
you should
really get some more sleep before showing up cranky on our shows. Eddie comes in smiling. I come in smiling in a good mood. You come in cranky. What's the next topic? What else are we? Button hit it. Is that what's next?
He looked like he ready to hit Scotty D. That's what it looks like.
I think I'm gonna root for the Rangers.
You gonna root for the Rangers? Be live. You know. We don't give a damn who you gonna root for, man. Who you gonna root for?
I'm rooting for the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
I'm rooting for the Diamondbacks. I'm rooting for National League. I'm rooting for this. It's not the Phillies, so there you go. I'm rooting for National League, and I'm rooting for not the Phillies. There you go. Ta-da.
hey, let's go Rangers. Let's go Rangers. They're looking hot. They're looking real good right now. And would that be?
That's about the fourth or fifth time that y'all two have agreed against me. I'm about sick of this.
But what might be time to start reevaluating.
Is this collusion? Did y'all have a conversation before I got here today?
No, we had no conversation.
I was just going to disagree on everything that I like. Oh, both y'all going for the Rangers. I'm gonna go with Scotty. You said I'm gonna.
Eddie, you have a number of a therapist. I'm sure you can pass along.
7 times today.
I got a free week you can use if you need it.
Share your share your therapist number with B-Live here after the show.
I'll even stitch you in on the call too, but looking at my phone, because I ain't got a watch yet, I will say this. Guess what time it is?
Time for y'all to get off.
Time to change the wild card format?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It is time for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. And with that being said, hey, old button, what's up? Hit it! Choices of the Voices, coming up right after this.
And now, our favorite part of the show, The Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful and everybody. Hold your ears.
Ever
so lovely, Miss Button, for introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. It is back after that weird 2-week hiatus. Y'all know how it is, man. We ask y'all the questions. Y'all give us the answer. We talk about it right here on The People's Choice. The Choices of the Voices. The best in all of the podcast world. All right, Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's Choices of the Voices?
Well, of course, if you remember, the question that I came up with was to share with us a favorite commercial, past or present, involving an NFL player or personality. And I've thought long and hard about this. I can't wait to share my answer. Eddie Cool, what did the people say?
You tell another one before it gets cold. All right, so here we go. We have Rodney O'Neal Bellamy, Hot Rod, Rodney Bellamy. And he says, the late night Tom Emanski, Fred McGriff in instructional commercials. If y'all don't remember Tom Emanski, he was the baseball hitting guru. And he also had Fred McGriff in that commercial as well, too. All right.
That was a favorite commercial? That wasn't that good.
Wait a minute. Hold on. B-Live, ain't this a penalty box worthy moment here?
Because it was baseball.
Yeah. That's absolutely it. See, what happened was.
But you know what? We're going to let it slide. Because we remember it. Most of us remember it. All right. All right. Moving right along. We got Jeffrey Lewis. He says, me and Bird, nothing but net. Michael Vick amusement park ride and the Bow Nose commercials.
That's another. Well,
he got one.
Oh man, that's two that they went right past the NFL part and just saw commercial and it's like, oh yeah, I remember this. No, that's yeah. All right.
All right, we got another one. Kevin, don't call me Dwayne Wade. He said, chicks dig the long ball, Tom Smoltz and Greg Maddox. I'm sorry, Tom Glavine and Greg Maddox. Who are these people? Now, anyways.
I'm about to go back. Let me see. Make sure. When you posted the question, let me see. All right, because
clearly it says that featured NFL favorite, players or coaches or broadcasters.
Favorite commercials with NFL players, who you got?
Oh. All right, so here we go. Moving right along, we got our Hall of Famer, Uncle Max. He says, Mean Joe Green Coca-Cola commercials. See, we rely on the Hall of Famer and his ages and his wisdom to get it right.
That's one of the greatest of all time, too, that Mean Joe Green commercial.
Love it, love it, love it. Help me out with this one, fellas. Joel Turner, sports agent extraordinaire, he says, taste great.
Miller Lite had a series of commercials. Tastes great, less filling.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so here we go. Brad Thomas, there was a local commercial for Harrison Ford with Drew Pearson and Bill Elliott, one of the best. We don't just beat the other guy's prices. We crush them. Yep, that's a great one. And he says Will Jarger also remembers that commercial as well, too. All right, then we got another one that says, okay, all right, and this is the Harrison Ford, the Harrison Ford commercial. Jim Catfish Hunter, Drew Pearson, and Bill Elliott. So
he had a link in there for it.
Okay, yep, and from the looks of it, that's it. We probably got two football answers out of all the commercials. Hey, man, it is what it is. Our listeners are a little hard-headed, but we love you. We love the hell out of you. B-Live, what's your favorite commercial?
Oh, man, well, this is near and dear to my heart. You know me being a homer and just reminiscing of the past and the great things about my Carolina Panthers. But everybody should remember Cam Newton, and this little kid, wanting to be just like Cam Newton and wanting to grow up to be like him. I actually forget, what was the basis of, was that a milk commercial or?
I think it was just like an NFL promo commercial.
Okay. I think that's what it was. Like a Play 60, something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So, I'm just warming up my arm. I was like, I'm going to grow up and win the Heisman and then win multiple championships. It was just precious. Yeah. I'm just warming up my arm. Honorable mention, you can throw me in the penalty box if you want to, because this guy didn't actually make it into the NFL, but he made it in the USFL right before it folded, so he didn't even get to play. But Lester Spate, or better known as Terrible Terry Tate.
Oh, I love those commercials.
The office linebacker.
I love those commercials.
Lester Spate, he made it to USFL. He didn't make it to the NFL, so this doesn't quite qualify, but those commercials were priceless. Here comes the pain.
The coffee.
The coffee, the stapler and everything. Oh, well, I think they didn't recycle the can or something like that.
And the guy was like, curled up in the corner, hugging the garbage can in the fetal position. This territory was about to whoop that ass.
Cut the cheese wherever you please.
Yeah.
You kill the Joe, you make some
money. Oh, man. That's a classic one. Real classic one.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Those series of commercials. He should have made it to the NFL based off of just those commercials alone. Oh, man, I would love to hear him just with a hype speech. Like, he'd do better than Jameis Winston over at eating W's and everything. But
we strong. We strong. We still crab legs. We strong. Scotty D, what you got, man, for favorite commercial?
Did we give him enough time to think of something?
I got a couple. The Bonos was obviously a classic, and the Mean Joe, those were classics. I like most commercials with Peyton Manning. They're going back to the original chicken parm, you taste so good. That's been several years now. It's probably been 5 or 6 years. And then one with him and Eli were in the ESPN studios, like taking a tour, and they were kicking each other and fighting like real brothers.
Like little kids. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kicking
them in the butt. Yeah. That was good. And then there's one, I wish I remembered this better, but the late Derek Thomas and Neil Smith, when they were teammates, there was one where it was, I think, a 1-800-COLLECT, if I'm reading that right. And Derek Thomas was firing Neil Smith up in the locker room. He was all mad, and because I think someone had called him collect. But do you guys remember the series of commercials? And this wasn't really the players starring in, but it was about the players, where Dennis Hopper was a referee. This is probably in the early 90s, and he was playing like this odd character, and he was sniffing Bruce Smith's shoe in the locker room, and it was like following Barry Sanders around, like to the point where like he was like on the field peeking at Barry Sanders. Maybe you guys remember, it was a real popular series. We had like probably 4 or 5 of those, but I remember him saying, Bruce Smith's shoe, man. Bruce Smith's shoe. And he was in the locker room sniffing it. But like I said, Bruce Smith wasn't really the star of that commercial. They were showing like footage of those guys playing, but it was Dennis Hopper kind of sneaking around as this sort of odd stalker referee type thing, which is kind of funny. But yeah, and I liked all those Taste Great, Less Filling commercials. Those were always fun as well. So here's a handful of off the bottom of my head.
My man, Posse Pants, Scotty D. I'm like, well, if B and I bought enough time, Scotty D will get together, and I'll just go ahead and close it out. All right, my favorite commercial is an NFL on Xbox commercial. It's called People Skills. It was that big time where the Xbox was making that big push about the NFL being on the Xbox and all that stuff. And at the time, it had Broncos pass rusher Von Miller, Antonio Brown before he became AB, and Russell Wilson, right? And it was about like, okay, we got to engage with people and make them want to actually, you know, by the game or whatever, right? So it showed Russell Wilson, you know, he's getting beat by a girl. He was so mad that he took the football and threw it in TV. He was like, good job. And then the next scene had AB at the barbershop giving people jacked up haircuts and everything. And the kid was in the chair playing the game or whatever. And then the kid moved forward. And he just took the Clippers and just gave him a intercoastal waterway haircut right across the side of his head. And he's shaking his head. And AB looked sane back then. Poor fella. And then finally, you had Von Miller. He was playing with a kid in the living room. He's like, oh, Von Miller, I'm beating you. And then Von Miller looks over at the kid. He smacks the controller out of his hands. He's like, strip sack. And then goes back to playing the game or whatever. And then so I guess the three come back to the office or whatever. Antonio Brown's combing his hair, combing his Demolition Man style haircut with a pick. And I forgot what the guy says. And Marshawn Lynch is like, y'all need to work on your people skills. And this is on the heels of, I'm only here so I won't get fined. So I just found that.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to dig it up, but I found that part so funny. You, Marshawn Lynch over there like, y'all need to work on y'all people skills. I'm like, of all people, of all freaking people, Marshawn Lynch. Yep, so that, so shout out to everybody for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, what's on tap for next week?
Here's a memorable one. Here's one we won't forget. Who do you think is the NFL's best young head coach?
Ooh.
Just to put it in context, I know a lot of you probably are thinking Mike McCarthy, but for our purposes here, we're going to consider him an older coach. We're not going to use McCarthy. We won't be using Pete Carroll or Belichick. None of these guys who just won't go away. Well, Andy Reid.
You want to put an age limit to it?
No, I'm gonna let you. I put a sport limit on this commercial one, and that didn't mean anything. We'll let you determine your own young head coach. You know, you're thinking the Mike McDaniels, Sirianni, Shanahan's, those kind of guys. So, best young head coach in the NFL. Eddie Cool, that'll give us something to talk about next week.
Yep, that will most definitely give us something to talk about next week. And that's it for the Choices of the Voices. Hey, we're finna wrap this thing up, but before we go, Around the Pepper coming up right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
Well, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, we're going to do the round of pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style. Kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's and no particular order. With that being said, I'll go first. Fellas, you won't believe this one. On this day in history, back in 1964, The Wrong Way Run by Vikings Jim Marshall, as he runs 66 yards in the wrong direction for safety. The NFL's number one, matter of fact, the number one blooper of all time happened on this day in history back in 1964 because he's going the wrong way. Over to you, Scotty D.
And he tossed the ball into the stands. There was no coming back for it. Number one blooper of all time. And then Leon Lett said, hold my milk. Okay. So this past weekend, Saturday, Sunday, two games involving Pittsburgh teams, two games involving quarterbacks and the spot of the ball that went a long way into determining the game. On Sunday, Kenny Pickett, right prior to the two-minute warning, takes a quarterback sneak that is obviously short of the sticks, gets a favorable spot. Rams don't get the possession back, and the Steelers win the game. They kneel on the clock from 2 minutes on. Very different from what happened on Saturday when the quarterback of the Pitt Panthers – now, see if you can pronounce this guy's name. It's spelled V-E-I-L-L-E-U-X.
Velo?
That's a good guess.
Gotta be French.
It's Veyer. I don't get it either, but it's Veyer. So anyway, Christian Veyer, in an effort to seal the deal for Pitt, takes a 3rd-and-9 quarterback sneak, gets to the sticks, and slides down to prevent himself from going out of bounds. The game is over. Pitt defeats Mighty Wake Forest. Except that the line judge then comes in and marks him well short, a yard short of the first down. How can that be? Well, he said he started his slide there. No, He didn't. He slowed down at the stick and then started to slide. And that brings me to a real problem with this rule, the slide down rule. It's meant to protect the quarterback, but the interpretation of it is so subjective because later in the night, I watched the Florida State quarterback run up the middle and start his slide a yard short of the first down marker and get marked a yard past it. So what by making that call, which by the way led to a pit punt and ultimately a pit loss when they should have also been in kneel down formation. What is now the message that you're sending to your kids now? Slide head first or start your slide later? What's that going to lead to? More collisions, more injuries. Stupid subjective rule call. We need something more concrete to determine what is actually the beginning of the slide or where the ball should be marked on a slide, because I didn't like that. And if you want to say, oh, it's a sour grapes because your team lost, I will confirm that. Yes, this is most definitely sour grapes because I don't think that the kid got robbed on that. Be Live, I'm done with that topic. Over to you.
I'm just me playing a devil's advocate.
I figured you would.
I think it was another former Pitt quarterback, now Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback, that caused that controversy, and they had to change the rule.
The fake slide, the Deke slide, yeah. You're right.
I'm just throwing that out there, you know.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
But let's talk about some things real quick. So we've heard some controversies going on with that team up north, the Michigan Astros. I mean, the Michigan Wolverines. I apologize about that. I slipped a tongue. But there's been a name attached to the staffer that, because yeah, there's been a guy that's got tickets to other games, scouting other teams, and he goes by the name of Connor Stallions. He was suspended by Michigan, and he's at the center of the NCAA's sign stealing probe. He purchased tickets in his own name for more than 30 games over the past 3 years. At 11 different Big Ten schools from multiple sources. And so the fact that Michigan suspended him after the fact, there's going to be some consequences. Michigan, you're too close. You're too close. Like, and Stallions forwarded the tickets to other people. Like, come on, bro. Michigan got caught red-handed. It's just... this is not going to be pretty, and I want to see how they sweep this under the rug. But I, as much as I'm rooting for Michigan, that team up north, because I do not like Ohio State, this is going to have some consequences. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure we'll hear all about it right here in good old Ohio, all right? Second paper point, on this day in history back in 1975, the Denver Nuggets, their first game at McNichols Sports Arena, and they beat the St. Louis Spirits, or the Spirit of St. Louis, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, basketball season started yesterday. So, yeah, the Denver Nuggets win their first game at home, and they beat the St. Louis Spirits. Over to you, Scotty D.
Well, I remember telling you guys maybe a year or so ago to watch out in the UFC for guys whose last names end in V. Kazmat Chimaev, Uncle Iev, Islam Makhachev, because I said they were all going to end up getting belts. Well, on short notice this week, Islam Makhachev defended his belt against Alexander Volkanovski in a rematch. Now, in the spring, these two fought, and Volkanovski dropped the decision 3-2 on every scorecard, I believe. And a lot of people thought he should have won that match. So now when Charles Oliveira is supposed to fight Makhachev, he drops out, Volkanovski steps in, and promptly takes a head kick in round one to end any chance of a five round classic rematch. And in similarly, Kamaru Usman on short notice took a fight against Kazmat Chimaev. It was a 3-rounder that all 3 rounds went to Chimaev, and he does not yet have a belt, but it seems to be like any day now. So anyway, that's where we're headed. We are ready to head the V ending name dominant era of the UFC. It is just about upon us. Be Live to you.
Boy, oh boy. My second pepper point coming to you is just disappointment, because I'm almost tired of reporting on this guy, but he keep getting back in the news. And he was mentioned earlier, we'll talk about a couple of commercials. Antonio Brown.
Oh, Lord, what he done did now?
Before he became AB. Here comes AB again. I don't know why AB has such trouble paying his obligations. Unpaid jury bills.
Trainings.
Not paying his players, et cetera, et cetera. This time, he ain't paying his baby mom. And it put him right into jail again. He bailed out, but he's allegedly failing to pay $31,000 in child support. He was arrested outside of his Florida home. He's posted bail. The mother of his daughter, his baby mama, Wiltress Jackson, said that she wanted Brown to be arrested, according to TMZ, according to Rhiannon Walker of Yahoo Sports. Right now, he's making a mockery out of the judge, out of everything, because he feels like he's untouchable. He may have been untouchable on the field, but not when it comes to his bills. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Pay your damn bills, AB, especially that child support bill. That's how they jam you up. I wouldn't know from experience, but from what I heard, they don't play when it comes around to that. All right, third and final pepper point. We got two birthdays today, fellas. Happy birthday to the SAS guy himself, Jalen Ramsey, who is currently on IR with the Miami Dolphins. He was born on this day in 1994. Played for the Jaguars, the Rams, and as I mentioned, the Dolphins. He was born in Smyrna, Tennessee. And also happy birthday to Jaylen Brown, who plays for the Boston Celtics. He was born on this day back in 1996 in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a lot of money between them two. Let a brother hold a dollar. Happy birthday to both of y'all. Over to you, Scotty D.
Major League Baseball has announced a few candidates for the Hall of Fame induction coming up. And the one that I am most excited for, and I pray gets in, is Jimmy Leland, former Pirates manager, who was just a fluke hit away from Francisco Cabrera from going to the World Series with the Pirates in 92. He did make three World Series appearances, winning one. He's a three-time manager of the year, and he's got over 1,700 wins as a manager on his resume. He was always a class act. I love Jim Leland then. I love him now, and I hope he gets that the vote's necessary to be a Hall of Famer. Be Live finishes up here.
Put him in there. Quit playing.
Yes.
Third and final pepper point. You know how I like to do things. At the end of the day, I always scratch my head asking, what happened? All right, fellas, real quick. I already know the answer from Scotty D, but I'm asking anyway. Eddie Cool, have you heard of the rapper Tut Tarantino?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Well, he's an up-and-coming rapper.
Yes, I have heard of him.
Oh,
I think. Is this who I think it is, son?
Yeah.
I have actually heard of him then.
Yes, I have heard of him.
Tarantino, better known as Michael Irvin's son, has stirred up just a little bit of controversy in his household. Because Michael Irvin is over here listening to his son rap, and he's like, you ain't had to live through any of this at all. You're rapping about my life. You've lived in a gated community all of your life. What the hell are you talking about? He says this on Undisputed Live on the air, on blast. He's rapping about my life. I said, oh my goodness. On Front Street by his own dad, bro. If that don't kill a rap career, yeah.
Let's see him go to court wearing a full length mink. Then you start rapping about stuff.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin on the air saying his son is flat out lying about the lifestyle that he's living.
Yeah. Woo. Crazy. And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They're greatly appreciated now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. Be Live. Take us home.
Yes, sir.
And as always, thanks for listening and watching the Sports Bros Podcast. We're out of here. Bye-bye. In 3, 2, 1. Blip. Well, almost. All right, y'all. Bye. We out of here.
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.